Welcome to Messy Buns Podcast. I'm Mary.
This is Elise.
And we are nearly 2 weeks into Lent doing a little check-in. How is your lentil health? That's what we're talking about today. We hope you're ready because we are not ready for Lent. Are we ever really ready for Lent?
I don't really think so. You'd have to be like good at what you were doing if you were ready for it.
If you feel ready for Lent, you're not ready.
Exactly.
I think at least when I hear the words Lent, you know, like the new year rolls around and I'm like, I hear somebody like preparing for Lent. I'm like, wait a minute.
We're not even
I am not ready for this.
Normally it like sneaks up on me like real quick. And then I'm like, well, I can't do any discernment right now. So I guess we'll just, you know, avoid chocolate or pop or like something.
Pop. Okay. Yes, that's your northern coming out, by the way.
It is.
She's talking about soft drinks. Pop. This still blows my mind when you say that. Anyway, when you were first talking to me about like doing a podcast on Lent and when I was about to go like write something on Lent, it was like the first thought was just I suck at Lent. You know what I mean?
Yes. I feel like in my adult life as a kid I was really good, which is funny because I think that's applicable to when you are a kid giving up the candy or the this or the that. Yeah. But then as an adult I swear I haven't gotten through one Lent like fully
without like messing up on whatever you're giving up on.
Yeah. And like majorly sometimes.
And I think the tendency for me is to like beat myself up. Like,
yes.
But how like it's actually kind of counterintuitive to like go into Lent thinking like, I got this. Like I'm really good at it. So
right.
It was actually kind of nice. Or maybe I'm wrong.
No.
Yeah. It's kind of nice to be like, I suck at Lent. But oh yeah, that's good for me to acknowledge that I actually suck a little bit. You know,
what's
kind
funny,
of the point of Lent?
I'm having this moment of you're looking at me like I don't agree, but what I'm really doing is internalizing what you just said and being like, oh my gosh, she's so right. Like, why would we go into Lent being so confident? Because the whole point is to like learn something through the process, you know.
Yes,
but being the perfectionist that I am, right. I'm like, well, yeah. I should not mess up at all, even though daily I sin.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's about recognizing our humanity.
Right.
Like the purpose of Lent is to make more room for Jesus, to have less of us.
Right.
And
that's
why I felt like I suck, just because like I like things and like I don't feel like giving something up and I don't feel like praying about it, you know, and discerning what I'm supposed to give up. But here I was like, okay, here we go. Like, it suck. Acknowledgement number one.
But it's funny because it's like what I love about the church is there's so many different like, you know, spiritual seasons, you know, that of growth. And the church, you know, like we talk a lot about suffering, having a lot of purpose. And, you know, the reality is some people don't have a lot of suffering in their life. So the church builds it in for you, like that growth. You know what I mean?
Your annual, yearly.
Like
annual.
If you're not going to suffer, like if you don't have external or internal or whatever sufferings going on that are going to force you to grow. Because really, when we talk about sufferings, we talk about them as blessings. Okay, well, don't worry about that.
Yeah, provides it with
no
extra charge.
We got 40 days for you.
There you go. It's hand delivered. Oh, that's kind of funny. But I have a little story, actually. Like a couple of days before Lent, I had like a mini Lent, I feel like, before it even started. Maybe this was God like lighting a fire under my butt. Like, I don't know. But it was, I had this experience with a person and it was really a misunderstanding. The details aren't important. But for about a day or two, I felt horrible. Like it was not just a bad day. I was really doubting myself.
Yeah.
Like I was questioning myself in so many ways. It was one of those things where I couldn't function on other things because my mind was so just captured by these thoughts.
Yeah.
And like the actual misunderstanding was replaced with just thoughts about like, I am bad. Like I'm just, I'm no good. I'm wrong. What are you thinking? Like, I can't believe you even does this voice sound familiar?
No.
Which was why it was perfect that, as we often do, I texted you, like you, Elise.
Oh, me.
Yes. You are you. And I asked you for prayer, which we do occasionally. And I just want to read our text exchange because it was amazing. And it actually like was exactly what I needed. Aww. And just a little, if there are little ears, maybe turn the volume down a little bit. Just so you know.
In her profanity.
But it was what I needed again. So I texted her. I said, can you say a prayer for me? I'm just going to read it to you. Feeling really attacked today and really questioning and doubting myself and can't stop thinking about it. So Elise comes back in her perfect Elise self, in all caps, guys, okay? This is my favorite. Satan is a little bitch. Stop listening to him. You know, and it's all caps. So I could hear her, like, I could hear her screaming this at me, but not screaming in a bad way, like a really good way. And I was like, oh, obviously, yes. Like, this is Satan's voice talking to me. And I was, like, there for this. And I just go, Ella, you make me smile. And then she comes back more with the all caps. You are amazing, strong, badass warrior for God. You make him quake because he knows the souls you have won for God. I was like, damn. This is like the true pep talk I need. I was like, wow, thank you so much. She goes, it's just me speaking the truth. He wants you to forget your identity. And I was like, wow, that's what it is. I said, oh my gosh, you're so right. And I didn't even recognize it. I didn't realize the voice that was speaking to me wanted me to forget who I am. Say, even if I did make a mistake, which maybe right. I did, maybe or I didn't, maybe I didn't. But like, that doesn't change who I am.
Exactly.
Who God made me. It doesn't change the good I've done. Right. I was so focused on this horrible thing that I did or how horrible I made this person feel. And it wrecked me.
Right.
And the last thing she said was, no one can take that you are filled with immeasurable worth that can't be taken from you because you are passionately loved by Christ. Well, that wasn't the end was. Sorry. She ended with lame ass attempts. Oh, and then I was like, this is so helpful. Thank you. I sent her all the hearts. But anyway, it is really funny, but like, it's so true that I was able to focus on that identity that you were talking about. Mm-hmm. And then finally hear Jesus's voice telling me, I say who you are.
Right.
He does not.
Right.
Like, you don't even. I say who you are. And you're pretty awesome. So I just thought, what a good way to go into Lent and like we're a little ways into Lent. I can't speak right now. So like, it's also a perfect time. Maybe you have messed up and you're being kind of down on yourself, whatever it is.
Right.
But Christ defines us. It's not just about understanding who we are, but whose we are, you know?
It's so funny because this whole thing came out of a... when I did the March for Life talk, yes. And Moana. So the Holy Spirit gave me this whole, like, I get really inspired by movies and specifically, typically movies. And that spoiler alert, at the end, sorry, I have, a little bit of a cold. Well, sort of. There you go. So at the end of Moana, when she what is it? Tafiti? The
such a great movie.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
That might be one of my best like meaningful endings of a movie.
Oh my gosh. Like my favorites. So much Catholic in it. It's crazy. I mean, I gave this really, and I'm telling you, it was straight from the Holy Spirit because like, and I know when something's from the Holy Spirit because it's something I would not have thought of.
Heck yeah.
But it's so significant. I'm not going to give the whole thing, but it's very much about identity and whose we are. And so here's this, you know, island that's missing, you know, and turns into this beast, you know. And because she's lost her heart, she's lost her identity, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it takes the love. Talk about Moana comes down from the mountain.
Right.
And brings her... the heart, like it's like, I mean, talk about like Christ bringing us his identity and restoring our heart. Like, I just gave so this much. It like I got chills. I got so excited to give this talk because of what God had revealed to me, you know. Yeah. But in that, like, oh my gosh, like we forget ourselves, and then like that visualization of that monster, you know what I mean? And then as soon as someone shows the beauty of that love, which we need, like from Christ, what is it, it fades away and we remember who we are. And it's like, as we draw closer to him, as we allow him to come in and restore our heart, like we know who we are, you know?
Yeah, so oh true. And Bella is obsessed with that movie. So it's on all the time. But I don't mind because it's just got these great messages.
It really does.
In it. You know?
I just love it.
So what are your thoughts about Lent?
I mean, very much similar to what you were saying, but this whole podcast was spurred on a conversation, which bummer, with my friend, our friend, Kristen, yeah. Not my friend,
share, like my, please.
No, but we, and because of my health, we tried to, she faithfully came one day and I told such her the wrong sweetheart. Day and yeah, so it just didn't work out. But, she and I were having this conversation. We had, funny enough, a date to
the doctor
which dates. which then you were also there.
A surprise.
Yeah,
actually.
It was weird. It was like one of those, everybody showed up on the date and we thought we had planned it but didn't.
No, it was weird.
So anyways, she took me out afterwards and just were chatting about Lent and just had this really profound conversation about you know, the fact that Lent is always like kind of this lame time sometimes, you know, because we focus on like these stupid things like giving up chocolate and giving up this or doing this menial thing or whatever, instead of actually like really assessing, hey, like where in my life, like do I need strength, you know? Like my spiritual director recently asked me, like, what do I avoid? Mm-hmm. Like, where are the areas of my life that I avoid? And I thought that was a really interesting question because my gosh, and he told me to write it down. Oh my gosh, it was so uncomfortable. Like, because right. I was like, wait.
You avoid it.
Well, yeah. And I was like, you want me to tell you, which means that you're going to make me do these things, you know? And like, he's like pushed me to do, and some of them worked out great and some of them did not. And what I felt caused me more pain, but in actuality caused me more growth, you know? And so it got me thinking a lot, you know, for this Lent of like, man, like, we don't ever have like a purpose. At least I feel like there's not this like really calculated purpose to what we're trying to achieve in Lent, you know?
Well, can I interject with something really quick? Because I don't want you to lose your process.
No,
but I wanted to say at least as far as when I'm at church, it's not something that's been really explained to us. It's right. always just been handed down, give up something, and hasn't been right. much, which like if you just give up something, it's possible to do that and not bear fruit.
I know.
And
exactly.
So what is the purpose? I'm 33 years old and I'm just right. kind of figuring this out, I feel like, but it's also like the purpose of giving up meat on Fridays.
Right.
Now we have to be a little bit more careful down here because of Louisiana. We're in Louisiana. We have great seafood. So I also kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that because at church it's pushed
so
to have these Lenten fish fries. And yeah. It's like, can we rethink this a little bit?
Well, I that's what's so funny is like here it's actually it's people look forward
yes.
to. And
it is.
And there isn't a sacrifice, like at least I don't feel like, no. you know. So it's funny because I was thinking about that while eating my crawfish etouffee the other day.
Exactly. My point. And I'm 33 years old. I'm just now like realizing this.
Right. See, but up north, it was definitely a sacrifice because it tasted like butt, you know. So, you know.
That's right. Nobody want to eat butt seafood. But
yeah.
Anyway.
And that's the thing is, I think, I don't know. And I do. I feel like we get in this kind of monotony in the church, you know, where like, and you'll have like a priest here or there who like kind of thinks outside the box that mm-hmm. will like lead you to that, you know, thinking differently. But yeah, if we were to really talk about the purpose of Lent, I think it would be a lot easier. I mean, I don't want to say easier, but it But yeah, easier. It's like everything doesn't have to be this horrible. Well,
more logical. Maybe
right,
not.
More, but easier to come up with things and then stick to them because there is a purpose. Right. When you're giving up chocolate for chocolate's sake, there is no real purpose, you know, like, and yes, we're giving it up because we're fasting and the fasting is drawing us closer to the heart of Christ. And, you know, I can go through the typical Catholic thing for it. But really, what is it doing? Because if you aren't struggling with that necessarily in gluttony, then it doesn't have a purpose.
That's the point. Because I wanted to touch on that. You said before, giving up chocolate, it all depends on the person. So giving up chocolate for me would be a huge sacrifice because I am kind of
chocolate
obsessed
fiend.
With not just chocolate, like just sweets in general. Like we ate way too much of them. But like that's what you're talking about. We're talking about being strategic going into Lent.
Right.
And like the purpose of it is for our personal growth. So what do we need to work on? God, what do you say that I need to remove? And how can I grow closer to you through this? What are the things I'm attached to?
Right.
Because the part of the purpose is becoming unattached to something so that we can replace that space with Jesus and focus on him, bring him into that moment, offer it, join it to the sufferings of the cross. And then there's that unity, that growth that happens.
Well, and I think the major thing that Chris and I were talking about is actually not avoiding something, but doing something.
Absolutely, yeah.
That you
or
can.
Both.
Yeah, yeah, you can do both. But like this was kind of the thing that we were talking about is like we both were struggling with I can't really speak for her, but I'll speak for myself. I was struggling with, I'm going back to school to finish my degree. Yes. I have a little bit left. And I started struggling with all this self-worth and not doing, like trying to find scholarships and write scholarships. And, you know, and so I decided, I was like, there's this barrier for me with God because he's calling me to this. I need to do this, but I'm avoiding it like crazy because of like my own self-worth and being like, you're not good enough for this. And the same thing that he was telling you, because he always goes to the identity, right? He always attacks the identity. And so I realized what I need to do for Lent is write these scholarships. Like I'm going to give myself X amount of scholarships. And I've already, thankfully, I avoided it for like a week. And then I wrote, I did do three of them. I just like burped in the mic again. I did do three of them. And there's such a power in the like, I have to do these for Lent. Like I couldn't get past this barrier by myself, but by the grace of God, by the season of Lent, I was able to find the strength to do it. And then once I did it, it gives me more confidence and more growth to be able to then do more. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas like I might have just avoided it completely and that wouldn't have been growing at all. You know, it would have just reinforced that bad behavior of self-wallowing and self-pity and not believing in myself or whatever. And that's kind of what we were talking about is like when you find these blocks in your life that you can't get past, like focusing on them and actually like being like, what is at the root of this? And what do I need to do to get past this? You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So it very strategic, you know, like, and again, it's one of those things that I was avoiding, you know, I'm not a good writer. I'm not this, I'm not that, you know, who gives a crap, you know,
just do it,
you know? And I think that's where like Lent, can give you that strength. And Chris and I were kind of like, hey, we need to do this together and we need to call each other on, you know, to move past these very similar barriers that we were struggling with.
I love that.
Yeah, it was a good conversation.
I love that. And also, like, it's not too late to change your Lenten plans.
Right.
Like, if you're nearly 2 weeks into it now, and you're like, this isn't really working out either. Like, I'm not doing this well. I failed. Or maybe I feel like I need to add something to it. Like, that's okay.
Right.
You know, you can always go back and adjust that. So what I did, and y'all, I'm admitting that I'm kind of crippled in how I go into Lent. So just take that for what it's worth. But I typically start off with way too much
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I'm like,
yes.
Kind of, it's kind of that black and white I grew up in. And like, it's like, I gotta be doing all these things. So like, instead of doing some one thing that's just really hard or something, and maybe this works well right. for some people, it might be okay for me, but I choose like multiple different things. And so like, I just, and then I add something as well. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of see what works.
Or, no, you know? Yeah. I've done that too. And then by the end, it's like one 0.5 things.
Right. And then I have these same things I do every year that work pretty well, but they're not like too hard. Anyway, yeah. So one of these things is I just am drinking water with every meal because it's really a treat for me to like drink, you know, tea or right, something right. else. But that's kind of like whatever, but it's still a little sacrifice. And then what else I've been focusing on is I'm a big like snacker and sweet eater. But instead, so last year I kind of gave it all up after like a meal, like lunch or dinner. And that worked pretty well. But I really wanted to work on my discipline this year. So I took the things that I maybe sometimes do a little bit too much of, like watch TV, social media, and sweets after meals. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to be disciplined. I'm not going to give them up altogether. I'm going to focus yes. on stopping at when I'm supposed to stop.
Right, right.
Because here's the other thing. And here's my issue with why I've never had like New Year's resolutions or anything.
Right.
I always want to be trying to like to do better. Like I get that right, that works right. for some. Some people have the resolutions right. and that's great. But I want to have the mindset personally of like, I'm never there. Right, you know, like I right. always want to keep trying to do better. So like I right. want this to stick after Lent. In my discipline.
Well, and that's actually what it's supposed, like that's
probably the purpose, of course.
Yeah. It's supposed to, you're supposed to have like this learned thing that you've then can take forward and yeah. grow from. And yeah. if you're cutting everything out, that's not balanced.
It's not practical to stick
right.
with either.
Right. And it's actually a lot harder.
That makes me feel a little bit better.
I mean, personally, I feel it is a lot harder to be balanced and be like, I'm going to, only eat one piece of candy,
right?
You know, instead
absolutely.
Of five.
Absolutely,
you know,
because I sit on the couch with my bag or whatever, and I just munch,
right?
You know,
well, and like for you to stop midway, right. you know
right.
what I
that's
mean?
What
like,
I'm that's, saying. So that's what I want to get better at, so it'll stick.
And I think that's because then you're overcoming that, and next Lent you can do something else.
Right, right. But it's also hard. You got to like stay on yourself. You know, like I've failed at this.
Oh.
So for sure. So I just need to stay a little bit more focused. But also what I started doing last year that I really love is adding 5 minutes of complete silence to the end of my morning prayer. And so it could be any time, like, but it's right. harder than you realize to just
yeah.
sit in silence and just. I try to just focus on like who got it. Like, Jesus, teach me who you are. Of course, your mind wanders and that's okay. You know, like
you just keep bringing
come
it back.
Come bring it back and then you can actually kind of start to extend that time a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I am with my own Lenten stuff.
I think that's great. It's so funny because that was another thing. The whole the balance and the like we go to these extremes and it's and I think we do that. It's so funny because it's so much easier to just be like, I'm cutting it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And then that lasts for like a period of time. And then you go back to what you were doing because you didn't change any pattern. You
right.
know what I mean? Like, because as soon as you get that one little bit of Starburst or whatever in your mouth, you're going to want like
stop.
The whole. Yeah, exactly. So what has been done, you know? I don't know. It's just funny. I'm like, I think balance is harder than these extremes. You know what I mean?
That
like,
makes sense. Just in life in general.
Yeah. And like my doctors, I have various doctors, as we all know mm-hmm. now. But it's funny because this last doctor with the last disorder that I was diagnosed with, we were talking about diet. And I was like, you know, this one's told me to do this. This one's told me to do this. And he was like, you just need to eat well-balanced meals. He's like, because you can't do extremes. Like, your body can't handle extremes because it's so sensitive. So he's like, do things in balance, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was like the most healthy, which is what I've always come to anyways. Like, I go on these extreme diets, cut out everything. And it's like, no, just lessen these things. Now, if I had, like, celiac, that's one
well,
thing.
Yeah, that's
you know
different.
What I mean? Like, that's a completely different thing. But I don't. I've been tested many times, you know? But it is so much harder to have that balance, you know? It's so much harder to be able to have these things in my life, but monitor the rate at which I have them. You know what I mean?
The thing is, it's such practical advice. It's just practical. If we have something we're struggling with in life or something that's been very like detrimental to us or emotional something, we want to do something extreme because we want to go the exact opposite.
Right.
And it's harder to just say like, okay, but it's more for the endurance. Something else I heard, I think it was in my Laudate, like meditation or whatever for each morning, was talking about, well, actually, you hear this a lot, that Satan doesn't have power over us.
Mm-hmm.
Like you hear, you go, I've heard that 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
Never fully understood what it meant, though, until recently when I was reading this thing. And it's just that he's so conniving and manipulative and sneaky. And he can hear what we say. I don't think he can hear our thoughts, but he can put thoughts into our minds. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's just a matter of, he's just really sneaky. Yeah. And he's putting these thoughts into our minds that are confusing us.
Yeah.
And making into, you know, tricking us, so to speak, into making the wrong decisions. We think maybe these are our thoughts.
Right.
And
right.
So I was like, ah, so it just it was a matter of me understanding, like, he cannot make us do anything.
Right.
Nothing. That he does not have control over us. So it's just the ability to like understand that and know that we have the power over our decision making.
Right.
You know, we can discern and welcome, invite God into that process and then choose to do things like this, like, you know, baby steps, doing something for the long run, having control. We have control over that.
Right. Right. I was thinking about, oh my gosh, I always forget the name of it. And I love this book. Screwtape Letters.
Yes.
That is like such a good book. If you ever want to like hear the way that Satan messes with our head.
Such a good book.
Like there's parts in there where, you talk about like, you know, he's talking to they're like demons and they're talking to each other. And it's like talking about how they're screwing with us, you know. And so he's like, you know, so while in church, think about why this lady is not praying hard enough, or she's looking this direction, or you know what I mean. And it's like, how many of us have totally done that? Oh, look at her skirt, it's so short. And he's like, and you're hearing this and you're realizing that isn't from God at all.
You're saying this and I'm getting angry in my head because I've had these thoughts.
Yeah, so I know. And it literally, that's why I think that book is so powerful, because it literally, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. And somehow we justify a lot of these things in our head, but it makes it very clear what thoughts are coming from him and what thoughts are not. You know what I mean?
And then you get into the game plan of the enemy.
Yeah.
And it's very helpful in how you move forward.
Yeah. I think that, and I haven't finished the whole book, and I always refer back to it, and I need to read it again because, or finish it, I should say, because it really, like, I could not believe, and it goes into like family relationships and all the ways that like, in a sense, he would attack, you know?
It's even a little scary. I haven't read the whole thing either, but I've read some of it, and it's kind of, when you understand how he's working, it's really kind of like, oh,
well, because you don't even like when he points it out in this book. Yeah. Like you're like, oh, my gosh, like these are things that occur on a daily basis and you don't even realize it. You know what I mean? Yep. So and it's funny. I think as we've been talking about all this, Mel Gibson's The Passion, I loved. This was actually something that I wanted to do in the talk on March for Life as well. But there's a scene with Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's getting tempted, you know, in a sense, like he's oh my gosh, hello.
The agony
first,
in the garden?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. The first mystery of the sorrowful mysteries. So it's the agony of the garden. Okay. And I love how he portrayed this, because even like, and I want to believe that this is really like what it was like, because this is how he does to us. Like in this scene, he's like, who are you? What are you? And he's saying this to Christ, like, and he's like, you have no father. You're like, basically, like, you have to go and just like watch this one scene, like just watch it. Like you can even, I Googled it and found like that part. And like, it's so like, even the way that the devil like talks, and like, and the way that he uses the darkness of nature, like something went in front of the moon and covered right. up, you know, and it was like this point of like where we've all been there, where like it's almost like it's an affirming that we are this thing or we have no identity. And like, talk about the root of every single thing that he does with us. And that's where that came from, is this mm-hmm. Holy Spirit moment where God, I was watching this and I was like, oh my gosh, like, even to the Lord, like, he tried to rip his identity away. You know what I mean? Right. Like, because he was like, not one man can take on all of this, you know? And then he was like, basically like, who is your father? You oh know, like,
gosh. We all need to go so, YouTube. Yeah. This yeah. One scene.
It's so powerful. And I'm not even giving it its full justice. Like, the words are like spine chilling, you know? Gosh. And like, what I love at the end of it, because then he like crushes the head of the serpent, you know, at the end. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you know, like, that's my Get like, him. Yeah, because that's, but it made it so, you know me, I'm a very visual person. So like, oh, yeah. when, and I think that's why I relate to that. And I feel like the Holy Spirit really works with like movie scenes.
Absolutely.
For me.
Absolutely. Movies draw us in so well.
It's so funny. I had a kid one time who was like, can you just give me a movie scene like for my talk? And I was like, no. Like, that's not how it works for me. Like, I'm not some big movie buff. I just literally, like, he will give me something from a movie and I will write a talk around it. You know?
Absolutely.
And it's not something that comes to me. Like, I'm not looking for it. It just happens.
Oh, it just
moves
you.
Yeah.
But that reminded me too of one of my favorite movies, Chronicles of Narnia.
Yes.
The first one, because there are so many, and that's C.S. Lewis too.
Yeah. I was gonna say, isn't it C.S. Lewis?
There were so many things in that movie that was just drawing out all the parallels. Yeah. But when what is his name? Thomas? Which is the kid that
Tomness is the fawn.
He's the fawn.
The man.
What
yeah.
is the second oldest kid? One that gets lost.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, shoot. Snap.
Edmund.
Thank
Edmund.
You.
Edmund.
Jesus and Elise.
I was always really annoyed by that name because he's just like, Edmund.
Yeah. But anyway, we all know the part. He first gets lost in the wardrobe. And then, of course, the queen, the White Witch finds him. And everything about her is so alluring to him. And the way that she talks
to
him.
The Turkish delight.
The Turkish delight. That's right. This is like some type of treat, sweet or something that he just loves. And he's like, no, I really got to go back. But she's just slowly drawing him in and building up his identity. It's the opposite, because she knows later on she's going to drop him.
Right.
And he's going to fall that much harder.
Right.
And he's going to doubt his identity. But it's just another visual that, like, I love in that movie.
Which is,
you know, that she's supposed to be like Satan.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it's funny because you're saying that. And I'm like, think about, like, fame and popularity and all of that. Like, that's where Satan, like, draws people in. And then you hear all of these stars who are like, if I could go back. Or they're saying things like, you know, I realized, like, I was saying this about Ed Sheeran. Like, if you hear a lot of his lyrics, like, I'm on my way, you know, that song, like, he's like talking about going home and nothing can replace home. And so you have this guy who's made it really big in the music industry, but then he's writing all these songs like to a girl that was before all this, you know, and like, and then he's talking about there's nothing that can replace home and like the feel, you know, and it's so like this going back to simpler days when he was younger before all of this stuff, you know, and it's like we all get drawn into wanting that fame or that popularity, but then like they achieve it and what does Satan do but come in? And then you see, you know, overdoses and numbing and, you know, all these other things.
Here's the thing, the whole thing with the White Witch is she was convincing Edmund that he could be a king and do all these things, but God already sees him as a king, so part of the lie is trying to convince us that we're not already this famous, like, okay, famous is not the great word,
right,
like this amazing person with so much worth and so much to offer. Edmund, we are all have that already. And that's part of the illusion, is to convince us that we need more, but we don't. We're already there.
Well, and it's finding our identity in people, because it's winning the fame and the attention of people when in reality, the only person that our identity truly is in and matters, you know, is with Christ, you know, like doing something for the world but then losing our soul, you know, like it's
well, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And it's actually not fulfilling for us either in the long run.
Right.
It's just all a lie.
Yeah. It's funny. It's just like the older I get, the more I truly am like, I would not want to be famous. You know what I mean? Right. Like you see this, the sadness that comes from that. And yeah. I'm not saying it's been for everyone, but
it just makes it harder. It makes everything harder in some ways.
Yeah.
But great chat.
Oh my goodness, such a good chat.
I have some recommendations for anybody looking to enrich their Lent a little bit more, make some changes, add some things. Some of you may be already doing these things, but we're going to put them down in the show notes because there's a few links that you can click if you're interested. But I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with Abiding Together. They have this awesome podcast and just a great group of women. But if you go to their website, they're doing a Lenten journey thing. Also, Pray More Novenas has a Pray More retreat. That's by Catholic Life. She's really, really awesome and does a lot of good stuff. And then TotalWine.com, TotalWhine. She's doing this Give It Up NFP Lent Challenge, which is pretty cool. And so it's kind of focused on NFP, fertility awareness, and kind of just all the definitions of that. And there's a challenge each week that she writes about and somebody else writes about. I actually did the first one. And giving up, you know, unrealistic expectations or the things I learned in marriage prep or things like that. So it's pretty cool. And you can join in on it with other people and kind of see what other people are going through. And that's just what's so great about community. And that's that brings me to this last suggestion is just an article to read. It's called Please Don't Give Up Social Media for Lent. Talk about such a good idea, because social media doesn't have to be bad. There's actually a lot on there that is uplifting and challenging for us. So I think that's a great way to just let's learn to discipline ourselves versus giving up something totally. But this article talks about that, too. So we'll put all this in the show notes if you're looking for a little something extra.
I'll be reading that one. I haven't read it yet.
Oh, cool. I also have a word of the day for you that I'm kind of excited about. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Chapfallen. Chapfallen. I don't really know how to say it, but C-H-A-P-F-A-L-L-E-N.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so up north, whenever it's around this time, your...
like the cold time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your lips... and your hands crack open, and like everybody's needing chapstick at this point. Like everybody has chapstick. Like they're trying to take the big crack in their lip and push it back together with the amount of slathered on chapstick.
So your lips have become chapfallen.
Yes.
Exactly. I really like that. Yes. That's really good, Elise. That might be my favorite definition yet from you. All right. The real definition, though. It's an adjective, and it means having the lower jaw hanging loosely, or cast down in spirit, depressed.
What?
So here's a sentence. His appearance caused shouts of merriment in the camp, but Tom, for once, could not join in the mirth raised at his expense. He was completely chapfallen.
So are they laughing at him because of the two definitions that they gave us? Like his jaw is unrelated. Just swinging around.
He's depressed. Yes. I think they're completely unrelated. But I feel like I learned a new word. I did. Anyway, we're all over social media, guys. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram, Messy Buns Podcast. And go ahead and give us a review or comment or like us wherever you're listening to this podcast. And thank you so much for hanging out with us. We'll see you next time.
Bye.